it's Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe McGee. Welcome to the Heroes of Faith today. Man, we were taking time going from Genesis to Revelation through all the great people of the Bible. There's so many stories that you think you know, but until you read it for yourself, you realize, I didn't know that story. I don't think I've ever heard that story. That's not the way I heard that story, because sometimes people can twist it and mix it up. So we're kind of following the whole journey of, you know, the birth of the nation of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're going through the fact that when they were down in Egypt for 400 years, they're coming out. Well, they're trying to get to the promised land. God was always trying to find a people to bless so other people on the earth would ask them about the hope that's in them. God wanted to show off through somebody. God's trying to show off. He's trying to bless somebody beyond their wildest dreams. You know, he promised Israel, you're going to live in houses you didn't build, eat from vineyards you didn't plant. God loves to show off. He still does that. But he needs to find a vessel. And so God's for somebody. And so he picked the children of Israel. So, you know the story. They came to the, you know, promised land. They sent the 12 spies in. They came back after 40 days. There was one from each of the 12 tribes. 10 had an evil report. 2 had a good report. And it's no different in today's world today. So the children of Israel, 2.5 million plus, you know, are there. And all of a sudden, they believe the 10. What was it like? Well, it's just like God said. There's grapes as big as grapefruits, bigger than your head, big old houses. It's a beautiful land full of milk and honey, just like God said. But there's giants in the land. There's giants, and we look like grasshoppers in their sights. And the people started to cry and mourn. They spent up all night crying, and God got mad the next day. Said, "That's it. That's it. I'm telling them I'm not going. They're not getting the promised land. I'm not going with them." And so all of a sudden, Moses tells them, "Okay, you upset God." He says, "He's not going with you. Everybody's 20 years of age and up. It's going back into the wilderness for the next 40 years. And you're going to stay there until all of you 20 years of age and older are going to die off. Then he'll take your children into the promised land." And that's what happened. So the next day, Moses tells them, well, then they got mad. Okay, we'll go. He said, "No, God's not going with you. He's been leading you all these years. You know, he tested you 10 times in the wilderness. You failed every time. Bitter water, no food. God was trying to bless you. God's trying to do miracles. But you griped. You complained. You thumbsucked the whole way." The Bible says God inhabits praise, not complaints. So here they are in Numbers chapter 20, starting around verse 14. All these, they're going to the wilderness 40 years. You're going to go back into the wilderness. So they're out there. So about 30 years they've been walking around. And the people wandered in this great wilderness. Then Moses planned to lead them to the border of Canaan. He wanted to go through the country of Edom to reach Canaan. Now the Edomites and the Israelites were somewhat related. We might call them kissing cousins. They were descended from the brothers of Jacob and Esau. The Edomites from Esau, the Israelites from Jacob. They're cousins, but they don't believe the same. Moses wanted to be friendly with these people. So from Kadesh he sent a messenger to the king of Edom, saying, "You know all the trouble that has come to us in Egypt and on our journey through the wilderness. We are now at Kadesh on the edge of your territory. I pray, let us pass through your country. We promise we will stay on your roads and not go through your fields or your vineyards, and we will not drink any of your water." But the king of Edom did not feel friendly toward the Israelites. He was afraid to let so many people go through his country. So he sent word back to them. Said Moses, "No, you must not lead your people through Edom. If you try and go through our land, I'll bring out my army against you." Well, Moses even promised to pay the king of Edom if he would let the children of Israel just go through. But the king refused. So Moses led the people around the country of Edom, south, east, and north towards Canaan. On this tiresome journey across the bare wilderness, now, there's nothing there, people. Rocky plains, the Israelites came to Mount Hor. Here they camped. And God reminded Moses and Aaron that they would never enter Canaan because they had disobeyed him. So then he told Moses, "Take Aaron and the son Eleazar and go up on the mountain." Now Aaron was now an old man about to die. God told Moses, "Take the priestly robes off Aaron and put them on Eleazar. And this way, God chose Eleazar to take his father's place. Now, how proud Aaron was, man, he must have been a really happy son. Now he could rest in peace. Eleazar would do well. But here, Aaron died. When Moses and Eleazar returned to the camp, the people saw that Aaron was not with them. They saw Eleazar wearing his father's priestly robes, and they understood that God had chosen Eleazar to take Aaron's place. They knew Aaron had died on the mountain, and they mourned for him for 30 days. So they're going through the civil stuff, you know. Now, starting in Numbers 21, after the Israelites left Mount Hor and came to the desert country, the hot sands burned their feet. Everything looked dreary, man. Where's this promised land at? This is a horrible place. The land looked dreary. Canaan seemed very far away. The people were tired. They're unhappy. And as usual, they complained against God and against Moses. Well, did you bring us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness, they asked. We have no water. We're so tired of this manna. We hate it. And when they were complaining, snakes crawled into the camp and bit many people. These snakes or serpents looked like fire, and the poison from the bite felt like fire. And those who were bitten died. Now, guys, you got to understand this. I've camped my whole life. My dad had 2 weeks vacation every year. Every year of my life until I got married, we went to the mountains of East Tennessee, and we camped out. And we were good at it, man. We had a great tent and the Coleman stove and our lanterns, and we had a tarp over the picnic table. And we stayed there for 2 weeks. And we'd trout fish every day, and we'd take naps in the middle of the day, and we'd go on hikes, and we'd drive up the top of the mountain and look over the side, and it was a great vacation. But we also knew, guys, this is not your backyard. This is the wilderness. There are snakes here, and so keep out for snakes. So I fished many a trout stream with my little five-foot rod, and I'd have to walk down a bank to get to the water. And what are you looking for? Why are you taking so long? Well, I'm looking for snakes. Sometimes a copperhead would coil up on that little bank under a rock, or a rattlesnake would be there. Keep your eye open for snakes. And so I learned, and I was real good. And so how many years did you do that? My whole life until I got married at age 20, you know, when I lived at home, and we went camping every year, my whole life. My sister went, we'd have relatives go with us many times. And so you always kept your eye out for snakes. And you pitch a tent when you pull the tent stakes up. Be careful, because many times a copperhead will crawl under that tent to get warm. And you pull that tent up and get ready to go home after 2 weeks. And we had a good friend got snake bit. That copperhead was laying there all cold up, pulled that tent stake up, and it bit her right on the ankle. And then we got her down to the hospital in time. It took about an hour and a half to get down the mountain. But she still got a piece of that ankle missing where that snake bit her, because it was poison. So what happened? They've been griping. They've been complaining. They're unhappy. And they're complaining against Moses. You brought us here to die. Well, while they were complaining, man, God inhabits praise, but hell inhabits gripes. You got to understand that. It says snakes crawled into the camp and bit many people. Not a few, many. These snakes or serpents looked like fire, and their poison from their bite felt like fire. And those who were bitten died. At once the people knew that they were being punished for complaining against God and Moses. They knew they had done wrong, and they were sorry. Quickly they came to Moses, and they said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord. We spoke against you. Pray to the Lord and ask him to take away these snakes." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord told him, "Make a fiery serpent and put it on a pole. Then whenever anybody is bitten, he can look at that pole and he'll be made well." Now, this seems like a strange story, but it's true. So Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a tall pole in the middle of the camp. So from then on, whenever anyone was bitten by a snake, the person just looked up at the great pole and the snake bite was made well. It's a true story. It's like God has a strange sense of humor, but he tells the truth all the time. So we move on down in Numbers 21. The Israelites broke camp and they moved ahead. The wilderness of Aaron and the next stop place. Here they found no water. But this time they did not complain. Instead, they trusted God. And the Lord told Moses, "Gather the people together and I will give them water." Moses then told the chief men of the tribes, "Dig a well in the sand." While they all dug, all the people sang praises. They believed God that he would fill the well with good water, even before they saw it bubble up from the deep springs. Their faith pleased God. How the people enjoyed drinking from this well. Now, you got to understand something. You can make a whole sermon just out of this. They've learned the hard way. What'd you learn? God does not inhabit gripes. God does not tolerate complaints. God inhabits praise. And so, man, after all, a bunch of their family had died from snake bites, Moses makes this brass serpent, puts it on a pole. If you get snake bit, look at the snake, and you'll be fine. And they did. They realized, man, if we keep our eyes on that brass serpent that God told Moses to make, we will be fine. And nobody else died. Well, then they get up and they make camp. So they're in the desert. You got to remember, they're in the desert. There's no bottled water. There's no 7-Eleven. There's no Quick Trip. They're in the desert. And we need some water. And we need water. Animals need water. And so Moses told the chief priest types, dig a well in the sand. Where are you digging? In the sand. Well, there's sand everywhere. We're in the desert. Just pick a spot and dig in the sand. While they dug, all the people sang praise. Who's singing? The people. The same ones that griped, complained, got snake bit, and had relatives die. But they've learned. What are we going to do? No, we're going to praise God. What for? The water. Where's the water at? We've not seen it yet, but we're praising him in advance. You know, faith comes first. You know, then the works. Faith that works is dead. What are we going to do? We're going to believe God. And you're going to hear our mouth say it. We're going to worship God for what? Thank God for water. Where's it at? We've not seen it yet, but we're going to start thanking God for water. And so even before they saw it bubble up from the deep springs, their faith pleased God. Now the people enjoyed drinking that well, man. It was a good day. Again, the Israelites moved until they came to the country of the Amorites. The Amorites worshipped idols. Moses wanted to lead the people through their country. So he sent a messenger to Sodom, the king of the Amorites. Let us pass through your land, Moses says. We will keep on the highway. We will not bother your fields. We will not bother your vineyards. We will not even drink water from your wells. Just let us pass through. Well, Sihon not only refused, but he took an army and marched against the Israelites. So God helped the Israelites when they were attacked and gave them a great victory. They marched through the land, and the Amorites, they took their cities, their villages, even the king's own city, Heshbon, became theirs. And the Israelites lived in the land of the Amorites for a time. Now, all Moses did was, hey, guys, we just want to pass through. No. We won't bother anything. No. We won't eat your food. No. We won't drink your water. No. All of a sudden, you know, they're trying to be nice. But when they didn't do it, not only did they go through and get attacked by these people who weren't being nice to them, they ended up owning their house, owning their country, owning their cattle, owning their crops. You know, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. It's an incredible story. Later, Israel moved down toward the lands of Bashan, Og. Og, the king of Bashan, brought his army out against them. The Lord told Moses, do not be afraid of him, for I will give you victory over Bashan. When the army of Bashan fought against the Israelites won. Now, the long 40 years journey through the wilderness had ended. All the old men except Moses and two faithful spies, Caleb and Joshua, had died in the wilderness. Again, the Israelites stood on the border of Canaan. Only the Jordan River separated them from the green hills, the beautiful valleys, and the promised land. They could walk across the river and see their rich country that God had promised. They were finally there. What are you doing? Well, we've been on a long journey. We came here 40 years ago. But people went in, and 10 spies came back with a bad report. And the people chose to believe the bad report than believe God. Caleb and Joshua believed God. Now, they finally lived. They've been in the 40 years of wilderness, but they didn't die. They came back 40 years later, and the Bible says Joshua and Caleb went into the land, and actually Caleb outran everybody. He's an 80-year-old man. He outran everybody at the top of the hill and said, that's my land up here, and don't anybody get it. And they got their land in the promised land. Why? They stayed faithful. What did they do in the 40 years? They didn't complain. They didn't gripe. They didn't cuss. They didn't tell bad stories. They were faithful to God. Their faithfulness got them in. And during that time, even the people that sinned and going back in the wilderness, God delivered them. Now, they went through the time they complained and they griped. But God said, I will deliver you. You'll trust me. And so they're coming back, and now they come back to the Jordan River. They're getting ready to go across. Now, Moses didn't cross over. God said, you can't go. You slap that rock instead of speaking to it. I told you, do what I tell you to do so the people will trust me. Well, Moses lost his temper. And he slapped the rock with that staff instead of speaking to it. And God said, no, that's it. That's it. I appreciate everything you've done, but you will not enter the promised land. So Moses had to stay on the other side. But the people went over. Joshua led them over. And there's a whole series of stories through the middle of the part of the Bible that tells about the great victories that God gave them. But they still had to trust God. And there were still people that doubted. You know, people died when people doubted. You know, Achan stole some stuff out of the Jericho, and he wasn't supposed to take it. Jericho belonged to God. God said, don't touch that. That's my stuff. Well, he stole some stuff. And so God said, so the next day they go to battle again. Well, 12,000 Israelite soldiers died. And Joshua said, God, I thought you'd be with us. I thought you'd protect us. I did, but part of somebody in your group, some of your people, some of your family stole my stuff. You can't touch my stuff. And so they cast lots, found out it was Achan, and so they stoned him and his family to death. Well, the next day they went, now they had victory again. Sin has death attached to it. All sin has death attached to it. God told us to live a certain way on this planet, that he would bless us and prosper us and be with us. But you can't have sinning life. God can't dwell where there's sin. He can't do it. So every day, what do you do as a believer? I get to repent every day and forgive every day. What are you doing? I'm repenting and forgiving a lot. The Bible says the righteous fall seven times a day, but they get back up. We're a blessed people. We have to use our faith to appropriate. Who are you? I'm a child of the living God. Are you perfect? Nope. You sure? Oh, yeah. I'm born again, bought by the blood of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit. God's ordered my steps, direct my path, but I do still make mistakes. I still sin. What do you do when you do that? I repent real quick. What happens if somebody sins against you? I forgive real quick. Don't let it stay attached to you. God's given us a way to live a very faithful, fruitful, prosperous life on this planet. And he's told us how to do it. Well, it's in the Word. So we came with an instruction manual called the Bible, so we need to read it. It's going to be really, really good. Guys, thanks for listening today. I hope you enjoyed the story. Get your Bible out. Read the story. It's going to be good for you. God bless. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.